This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
DeHart with Dave Bourne. We talk about local issues and local topics, institutions, individuals, ideas, all that good stuff here in Salem and Kaiser, Marion, Polk County. So welcome. Brent and Dave are going to have a conversation with you today. We've had so many great guests in the last few weeks, everything from state senators to nonprofits to education players, and it's been all over the board, but we wanted to talk about a few of the things that that have come up in the last few months and give you an update on some of them. Right now, in my top of mind, for me, is homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two different arguments I'm going to make. Well, I'm going to argue with myself, and you can chime in there.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You can argue with both of me here.
Okay.
And, of course, in the news, if you're reading the newspaper, you even saw it on Portland Television News, the eviction of campers in under the bridge down in next to Marion Park, Marion Square Park. And it got so unsightly. And this is right downtown. And anyway, it's big news right now, and I want to tackle some of the things and some of the things we're learning and some of the things that are surprising about homeless. So if you're watching, I mean, this has been great coverage from the Salem Reporter, mm-hmm. who is our partner for the KYKN website. By the way, at the KYKN website, if you'd like to hear any of the previous shows or listen to this one again, you can listen to the podcast. So, all right, so homeless is a tough topic because you don't want to come across and sound like you do not have empathy, you do not have concern for those who are in that situation. Right?
Sure, sure.
So, and we've talked about both the need and some of the solutions and so forth. And the number one thing is when people ask, what's the answer is there is no answer. There is no answer, or we would have solved, somebody would have solved homeless somewhere on earth.
Way back when.
So, and you have different reasons for homeless. You do have people out there that are peacefully living homeless, and that is their choice. And they wish to live outdoors, and they wish to live untethered, as it were. So, and then you have people who have mental health issues, drug mm-hmm. addiction issues. You have also, it kind of runs a gamut. And one of the things that surprised me, there was an article in Spotlighting going out there and talking to the personalities of the people that lived there. Now, I think there was Minto Brown and probably also at Wallace, is that there was a sense of community in the camps, and there was also an element of self-policing.
Really?
Yeah, they were like rules. You don't mess with somebody's tent.
That's a good
rule,
though.
You don't do this, you know, do that, you know, and things that related to safety. In
sure.
the homeless camp, both in terms of physical safety of the people out there, you don't mess with the women, you don't, you know, no violent attacks and all these things. And then they had some de facto leaders in the group as well that would they would go to try to adjudicate this without calling the police, right?
So were they elected by the camp?
No, I think it was more informal than that. And, of course, I won't try to substitute what you can get when you read a full article in magazines and newspapers and so forth. However, the concept of it having in a community that people knew who was whom and whose tent was what and what belonged to whom, and if somebody was not toeing the line, if they were trashing the joint, mm-hmm. right, or if they were verbally or physically abusive to others, then people, you know, intervened. So that's interesting, and then it got more interesting. So there was some, the weather was turning, and then some people were finding homeless, homes, and they were finding a place to stay. So there was some exodus, some members of the group. Some of the things the city of Salem is doing is working in conjunction with Marion County and so forth. And we heard about that from Mayor Bennett, of course. And there was an influx of new people.
What?
There was a big influx of new people who were not from the area, not part of the camp, not part of these unwritten rules, community kind of thing. And they were stirring up a lot of problems. And so there were thefts, there were fires, there were abuses, there were drugs, there was crime.
Where did they come from?
I don't know. Where would you guess they might come from?
Portland?
Portland would be my guess, but it did not say. It's not fair to say, but that's my first guess. And so that was so fascinating to me. I mean, we're seeing the same thing. The people that are evicted at Marion Square Park and under the bridge there, that camp got bigger and bigger and filthier and filthier. And I spend a lot of time in that area. I drive by it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. It started to attract rodents. So now you're talking about...
When rodents appear, that's the time to leave.
And if you are not from the area, so like for our Polk County listener, it doesn't come downtown very much. This is literally across the street from the Children's Museum.
That's true. It is.
Right? You got the Children's Museum, a couple of facilities there. You got the Riverfront Park. You got the carousel. You got the business district and everything. It's right there. And so it got dirtier and dirtier and clothes and trash and filth and da, da, da. And so something had to be happening. So here's my question. Why'd you let it get that bad, Salem? If there's no camping in the park, there's no camping in the park. Why does it have to get so repugnant before you'll finally push it and make something happen?
That is a good question.
And there's, you know, I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer to where do they go.
Right.
I don't know. Recent articles are saying some people will go back to the park, go to Wallace Marine Park and park in the woods or park by the river and camp by the river. So, and it's not like it's the first time, right? So these same community, I don't know, all the individuals are the same, but they were doing it on the walkway above the bridge, that walkway that goes up to the bridge. So that whole, it's a circular walkway.
I know what you're talking about.
It was supposed to be accessible to everyone for bikes and pedestrians, but it's so crowded, there were just tents all over the thing.
Hmm.
So they had to remove them. So anyway, very interesting in terms of a population split. These are some of us, and we're doing okay, and these are outsiders coming in, and they're messing it up for everybody.
Wow.
And because there has been an increase of crime. There has been an increase of drug use. And incidents, both, you know, homeless to homeless individuals and people who are not. And that's really, really problematic. You know, we've talked about this, and we're not going to talk about the solution today, other than it has to be the city and its resources, and them talking to the county and its resources, and the state and its resources, and the nonprofit community and the resources, and the faith community resources. So people have been coming down underneath the bridge as a convenient place to come and feed them. And there was a good quote in an article last week about separating the conversation between feeding the homeless and where they camp.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
I thought UGM took care of a lot of the feeding and housing and providing and we all donate to that to help them with this problem.
That is a good, very good question, because it's literally two blocks away, a block
right?
up and block over. And they open their doors. One, there's capacity. Two, it's just men.
Right.
And three, they have to be willing.
Wow.
So, yeah. And there is a certain hardcore, and we talked about it with Dan Clem from Unit Gospel Mission, about some people just won't come inside. And they're hardest to try to help, because they'll turn down all efforts of help. So, all right. Anyway. We're going to break real quick. We're going to come back to this, and we got a lot of the topics. You know, the sheriff is retiring. There's some bills at the Capitol. So there's some fire news, all sorts of things. So we're going to come back. You're listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart talking with Dave Morin, where we talk local issues and topics here in Salem, Kaiser, and Marion, Polk County. We're going to finish up on the subject of homelessness before we go on to some things like things you're going to see the legislature and some of the other things in the news in Salem, Kaiser that we've been talking about on this show. So going back to homeless real quick, because we're talking about how bad it gets before something has to happen, and those people got evicted from underneath the bridge. So notice goes out, and some people move on, and other people think it's unfair, and other people are like, well, even the homeless people say, I get it, it's gotten really bad.
Right.
People
when,
not
when the rats move in, you move out. Right. Yeah.
And
but where they're going to go?
And rats in two senses. Rats in terms of the vermin, the actual, you know, rodents, and then rats in the terms of people who are disrupting the peace.
Right.
Who are perhaps not from this community and have, you know, settled here.
Will they go back? Where do you think all those homeless are going to move to?
Some of them, and that had already happened, some of them are now choosing to go inside, you know, and take up some of the services, right? Especially when it's in the 20s at night. It must be
bitterly
extremely
cold.
Brutal. And some might go to other communities. Some might have other options. There are people out there. And actually, the article I'm referring to spotlighted a gentleman who had died. And he had died out there, and he was homeless. And it was had been his lifestyle choice. And he had a brother that lived not far from here that had offered to let him move in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he had family, and he had a place, and a welcoming family, not a rejecting family.
Right.
And he had a place to go. And unfortunately, he succumbed to the elements. He got ill and succumbed to the elements. And anyway, there's a good article. You might find it in Statesman Journal Archives or something. But very interesting in terms of the new population, where these people come from.
Mm-hmm.
And this new population, they're not following the rules. And they're disrupting both the general public and the homeless encampments. So anyway, so there's this concept of, okay, but we want to feed the homeless. And you see it out of church groups. You see it out of nonprofits, even some local for-profit restaurants. I know I see one of the local downtown restaurants drives its van down there all the time, pretty regularly, and they take the food down there and feed them.
Right. There was a group that went down there and served them food, right? And
yeah, now all the time.
Now the city says they can't do that.
Yes, the city had previously to this made an ordinance where they required a permit if you're going to feed the homeless, right?
Okay.
So you had to have a permit and you had to know who you are to bring food down there, presumably for, one, some degree of control and communication and safety, right?
I get it.
All right, so then there's the, but we want to feed the homeless, and the flip side of that, I hear people arguing, then feed them at your place, right? If, say, it's a church. And
right,
the church is like,
right.
Well, we're going to go down to the park and we're going to feed meals and we'll make sure they have 3 meals. Da, 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 da. And then you have a certain segment of the population and you get their perspective. It's like what you're doing is creating a homeless critical mass that's destroying quality of life, ruining a neighborhood, and keeping people feel unsafe. So you want to feed them, then feed them at your place.
But will they travel there? See, that's the other side.
Well, they traveled to the park is the argument. They traveled to this park because that's where the food is.
Got
right?
It. Yeah.
There's a public space, and that's where the food is. And you've created an environment where, oh, you go down there because that's where you get the food, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying this is my hard and fast attitude, but I do get the perspective. Where it's like, well, we don't want to feed them in our church parking lot. Right? There's a little NIMBY there.
Sure.
There's a little, we don't want to feed them right in the parking lot of our nonprofit. Oh, we'll have parking issues or we'll have da, 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 da. It's like, why don't you open up the parking lot at your institution and get people there? I don't know. So
then they'll move in and stay?
Yeah, potentially.
Yeah.
And it gets to the argument of, you know, how do we separate? Let's make sure that people aren't starving. Let's make sure that they're not starving. There's food available, right?
Right?
But let's also, at the same time, not encourage a mini city, a mini tent city. Right?
So many different answers.
Yeah.
And not, so, not right. Everyone will fix it.
One more thing, Oregon, all of us, we know we want to be competitive in some regards. You know, in Oregon, you want to be competitive in education and have people want to come here and have the kids in the school. You want to be competitive in household income. You want to have, you know, good statistics for all of these things. Unfortunately, the same thing is true when you're talking about services to the needy.
True.
Right? When you talk about social services, human services, both for people who just need help with welfare and housing and food and all these things, and also for the homeless. So once you get to the point where you're competing for homeless people, look what happened in Portland.
Right.
So, and this is a story I will never forget. So my wife worked in social services for a period of time. And she went to visit one of her clients, and her client's sister had just moved there, and she had moved up from Arizona, I think, for California, out of state. And she moved here and she didn't have a dollar to her name. I mean, she just moved here and it was basically instantly in need. She says, well, why did you come here? Why did you come to Oregon? And the answer was, oh, well, my sister told me that I could arrive on Wednesday and on Thursday I've got food stamp money.
Right? How does that happen?
So because we are generous giving state when it comes to social services. So
there's two sides.
The point
to that,
is, there's. Yeah, and so where does that cross from the point where, hey, we're going to take care of our citizenry and people who are in need to, hey, everybody in the nation, why don't you come to Oregon because it's an easy give, right? If it's food, if it's housing, if it's, you know, as long as, you know, they do, comment a lot of misconception, they do screen out people who are not legally in the country. They have to be legal residents to be able to get the services, but the services are easy to get. There's not a waiting period.
I tried to do that, and I got denied.
Really? You should have had my wife on your case.
I should have.
But anyway, that's the point. And as far as are we being so competitive and making sure that everybody gets everything, are we drawing in and inviting in our own problems, right? That's rather than driving in entrepreneur money, right?
Right.
Capital. Professionals, great doctors, great nurses, great engineers, you know, people who want to found their companies here and this and that. We're going out and we're competing and trying to get all the people that need as much help as possible. And it really does take a toll on our budget for social services, social
sure.
and human services. So I'm not advocating we not have any social or human services, but boy, it's something to consider when you're just that much more lucrative, as it were, for services than others. There's one other story we'll talk about right now, having to do with what does that package look like when, say, you've lost your job and you're not working and you need help.
Right.
So there's a lot of people who are having trouble finding people to work. We've had this discussion with Kurt Schrader, U.S. representative in our area. And I remember it was a roundtable, and it was, I think it was striking for the representative, is the same message came from a lot of different venues. It came from jobs placement people.
Mm-hmm.
It came from manufacturers. It came from education people. Everybody in the room said, the problem is you're paying people so much money not to work that they wouldn't want to go to work.
Right.
Right. So there's a trucking company in town, and they'll hire you. And it pays pretty well, but it's hard work, but you pay pretty well and you have your benefits, this and that. But it's just a little bit more than the entire package. At least at the time, they were extending unemployment, right? This was after the recession, but it was like, okay, so extended unemployment, then you have housing assistance, then you got food assistance, then you got TANF, and you have all these assistances. It was kind of the equivalent of making $40,000, $45,000 a year by not going to work. So are you going to take a job that makes $30,000 a year? And it was kind of like, all right, have you gone too far?
Right.
You know, to alleviate people's pain, the point where, and this is a Benjamin Franklin quote. Benjamin Franklin said, do not make the poor too comfortable.
Right.
Do not make the poor too comfortable or you will trap them in their condition. I paraphrased that. Sorry, Ben. Someone's going to write in and give us the exact quote.
That unemployment thing is supposed to be... like you said, assistance. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be enough to live on for a long period of time.
Yeah, and in one program in itself, it's not. But when you add all the various different federal and state programs, it really became kind of lucrative. You know, and you're getting your food, and you're getting housing vouchers. And
I never got any of that. I just got the unemployment.
You need to be poorer.
I guess clear. So.
All right. You listen to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. We're going to stop talking about the homeless because I do want to talk about the legislature as it's coming up and getting launched. So stick with us. You're listening to 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome back to Newsmakers. We're talking about things important to the Mid-Valley, things that affect our quality of life, things that affect our pocketbooks, and all things Marion and Polk counties and wherever our voices can be heard. So thank you, Salem Kaiser, for tuning in every noon, every weekday to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart along with Dave Borner. We're trying to wrap up some of the things. We have no guests today, although we've had an incredible string of guests this last month or so, and we appreciate that. But so many things that we have talked about in the show, we want to circle back and make sure people are aware of some of the changes going on in the community. We talked about homeless. We talked about the supermajority at the legislature and how that is going to affect the types of bills that get introduced. And some bills that wouldn't have traction because they're not bipartisan will get traction because you don't need to be bipartisan. And some of those concerns. But we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We had Kevin Mannix on.
I remember.
And Kevin involved in a lot of things. I personally really favored the ballot measure to do away with Oregon's death tax. It was several years ago, but it's probably not
that.
More than 5 years ago. And
yeah.
Fortunately, it did not pass. That would eliminate the death tax. Death tax, to me, is flat out immoral.
Yeah,
and so you have a certain perspective of people that I really just don't understand that think, oh, well, you just have too much money. You know, you need, if you die with that much money, we need to take it from you and distribute it to other people. I don't get that.
Yeah.
I think whatever that is that we managed to hold on to after we've paid all our taxes,
right,
all that money has been taxed already.
Right.
Yeah, it belongs to the family. It
yeah,
doesn't belong.
Or mine.
It doesn't belong to the populace. So anyway.
If I work that hard and save it all, mm-hmm. it's mine.
Yeah. Anyway, so he's been involved with another ballot measure now, but we talked a lot about the intermodal facility proposal. And if you missed the show, be sure to hit the podcast. It was really interesting to talk about getting freight off of trucks and out of congestion through Portland into rail facility, and that would ship it up to where it would be shipped internationally in Tacoma at the ports. So that's the idea, and there's a grant out there from the state of Oregon and so forth. Two main facilities being proposed, Millersburg and Brooks. And Brooks, of course, is in Marion County.
Right.
And those horrible Millersburg people, that's not Marion County, so we can't care about them. Right? Actually, it's not that far away.
Hey, they're in Oregon.
Know?
Come on now.
Millersburg is... I didn't want to bring it up with Mr. Mannix here, but Millersburg is not much further than South Salem. I think South Salem and Millersburg is a lot like North Salem and Woodburn. But any rate, sounded like a great proposal.
Sure.
Very interesting concept about the trucks being able to turn around and not go through Portland traffic and so forth. Any rate, the committee issued its recommendation last week, and Millersburg was a recommendation.
Will it happen, though?
I think one of them will happen. It still needs to go to the legislature. It still needs to go to the decision makers.
Mm-hmm.
But the committee recommendation was Millersburg. They had a couple of concerns. One was that it was too close to Portland, that Brooks was too close to Portland, too close to an existing facility that kind of does the same thing.
There is?
Yeah, and I'm not knowledgeable enough to explain it to the listener today, but maybe we'll have Mr. Mannix back on.
Okay.
And then also, and I think the other facility is a remnant of when we actually used to bring the trucks to our own, you know, port of Portland and have them ship it out from here. Anyway, we don't do containers anymore in Portland. And the other issue was its viability and whether or not it would have to be subsidized by carriers and this and that. And at least the opinion of a consultant said it's not going to be viable. They'd have to do it below cost, and this is not economically feasible, although it was, you know, ran contrary to the previous study.
Hmm.
So there you got it. But if you got some people who were entrepreneurial and they want to launch this and make some money, you would think that you would give them an opportunity. But it may still happen. It may happen for Millersburg. And if it reduces congestion in Portland, I'm all for that.
And Salem.
Yeah. What I'd like to do is reduce congestion going east to west through Salem.
I know.
Which is
bridge.
Entirely something else.
Another bridge.
A bridge.
All I have to do is mention it.
And the interchange at 22 and Cordon Road.
Yes.
And that interchange has to happen, even if you're listening, ODOT. ODOT, if you're listening, that we need to prioritize that. So even if we only have to do half the intersection at once, but Amazon and Home Depot need to be able to get their trucks and have them not put them on Lancaster Drive and swing them around, but right onto 22 going east and west.
Good idea.
Yeah, and the land's there, and
just makes sense.
It's a matter of, you know, the regional priorities of transportation, you know. And I thought after Woodburn has finally got their long needed improvements, that
which is really nice, by the way.
Yeah. Anyway, we will catapult that. All right. So we'll have to have Kevin Mannix back on, because we'll follow that, because it's going to be a substantial economic development impact.
Jobs.
Okay. All right. A couple other things. Last week, Jason Myers, he's the sheriff.
Yes.
I think well regarded, the sheriff of Marion County. He's going to retire this summer and take another job. So he's been at Marion County, I think, since 89. So there was a sudden resignation, is how we're going to put it, a sudden resignation in the sheriff office in 2009, and he was appointed to take the place of the individual who had to suddenly resign.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're not going there. But he's going to take a job at Oregon State Sheriff's Association, and it's based in Salem, so he's going to stay in the community and this and that, and who can blame him?
Good for him.
I wish all the best to Sheriff Myers. Appreciate he's been here. It would have been 10 years. So that'll be an open seat. We talk about how important elections are, and if you know you're going to have a contested race for a sheriff, please do your research and know who stands for what.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how are they going to enforce what? What priorities they're going to have? Are they going to cooperate with federal officers and law enforcers? Are they going to, and so on and so forth?
Yeah. Important stuff.
Yeah. How are they going to run the jail? The sheriff runs the jail. He doesn't just talk, you know, about patrol.
No. It's all about the jail and the where they enforce and where they cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, we talked a little bit earlier. I actually missed one about things that county sheriffs that nobody else does. It's one is transport prisoners.
Right.
So, and the other one is evictions.
Evictions.
Yeah. And if there's an eviction notice and you're ordered by the county to evict because for lack of payment of rent or whatever, if you've been evicted, it is actually the sheriff's office that enforces that order.
Mm.
Yeah, not the city police, even if you're in the city limits.
Good to know.
Okay. All right. So all the best to Jason Myers. And the other thing that came up in the news lately, and this one cracks me up, and it has to do with the lottery. So the lottery is just busting over with new revenue.
Can't imagine why.
I mean, people are just addicted to it. And do you buy lottery tickets?
Occasionally.
Yeah. I buy that $2 lottery ticket because it bemuses me. Right. It might be in my wallet or it's on the dash of my truck for like months. But you get to think about, you know, oh, man, you know, what would I do with that? What would I do with that? You know, and it's just the stake is to keep some of it and do good things. Right. So they say. But it does have the state addicted to sins. Right. They tax heavily cigarettes.
Sure.
And, of course, beer and wine and spirits and what have you. And the lottery, the taxation on stupidity. So when it comes to gambling, it's just concerning a little bit, and this makes it sound like it's not concerning. All right, it's up $63 million from last year before, $726 million in a year going into the lottery. So it's up over 10%.
Wow.
Now, what drove that? I mean, more people doing buying scratch-offs, and more people in the state, or is it the Mega Millions, the $1.5 billion?
Yeah, right.
The $500 million.
Record amounts.
And so forth. All right. But, you know, so I'm somewhat ambivalent to the lottery because I'm not a gambler and so forth. But there are things that are going to fire people up. And some people don't think we should have legalized gambling, right?
Right.
I remember the year I moved to Salem, or within a couple of years after I moved to Salem, that's when video lottery was coming in. And basically, I'm reading the Statesman Journal, and the argument blew my mind. It said, well, these taverns, they're putting it in, and this is bad. This is because they were illegal. You know, these machines, right? Mm-hmm. They were illegal. So it was a unhealthful thing for society. This is a societal evil.
Wow.
But we can't stop it, so we're going to go in the business. We might as well sell heroin under the same conversation. I'm like, really? You can't stop it in a society, but we're going to go in the business. All right, sports betting might be back. They're talking about bringing sports betting back due to a Supreme Court case that said that states could decide if they wanted to do it or not. And real quick, you know, the lottery does do some very important things, and a lot of those monies flow into Marion County. I think $55 million last year.
That's pretty good.
Into Marion County for economic development. So we've talked a lot about that. That's our share of 24% of those lottery revenues go to economic development, and 59% go to education. And those changes, originally it was all economic development. Those changes have happened over time along with some ballot measures. So it is. I mean, were you, maybe we can educate people not to gamble, but it is pouring a lot of money and supplementing the education budget in Oregon.
Originally, I thought it was supposed to be the education and transportation.
No, it was always economic development, which is a wide umbrella. There's a wide umbrella because you could have, you know.
Because lately they've been touting, you know, cleaning up those lakes and streams.
Wind Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.